Good morning and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators. First time in a month, we get to recap a victory as the Gators take down the number 9 Longhorns 29-21 in the Swamp Saturday afternoon. Big win. I mean, we talked about this. The Swamp gives you one each year that you're not supposed to win. The Longhorns open up as a touchdown favorite. I think they close a little bit less than that. Four of us were in attendance. Hunter, I'll kick it to you. Just overall thoughts of the atmosphere and how the game turned out.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. Obviously, getting in there, seeing the Swamp like we knew it would be. Sold out crowd. They brought the energy. And just awesome to see a win. I mean, obviously, like you said, it's been a month, and that was LIU. So to get a big win like that was pretty cool. And you know, we'll talk about it, but it was domination for most of the game. Obviously, ended up being a little closer than we would have liked at the end. But a dominating win like that against a Texas team, it was a good time. It was fun.
Will, where were you sitting today? Were you in the wine and cheese crowd, or were you down in
the – No, we were over in section 14. I like to, on these really big games, I like to be within earshot of Billy so that I can help him call plays a couple times. So, my bad. I actually told him to call timeout there late in the fourth quarter. But now, what a game! It was really nice to come back stateside. This is my first victory stateside since going off to London. So, I haven't done a podcast after a win. So this is quite a new feeling.
This is refreshing.
Yeah. Yes, it's crazy. I don't really know what to say, but the game really did kind of have it all. The highs and lows of Billy Napier, just the enigma that he is. But I'm thrilled for the players. Shout out to Miles Graham. That guy looks like a bona fide first round linebacker. There were plays that he made where it looked like they had a easy run for like 10 yards, and he came in. He was laying the wood like the Gators used to do. Jaden Woods set the tone right at the beginning with a big hit. And it was really fun to see the defense fly around there and just get a win. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't perfect. We did our darndest to, like, give it away there at the end. But it was a lot of fun. You know, the Gators really needed a victory. So I'm very happy for the players who were able to come out there. They played for their coach. They played for the logo, just like we've been asking them to. And they got a big dub.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty and it wasn't perfect, and that's pretty much like the slogan for Billy Napier football. But I would say, obviously, give a big shout out to the 85 guys on the roster and to the 90,000 people in the stadium. That was the most that I felt like the crowd affected an opposing team in the Swamp since maybe Auburn in 2019 when Bo Nix freaked out so bad. The procedural pre-snap stuff that we were able to cause as a crowd, you know, whether it was false starts or delay of games, that was they melted down, and obviously they handled the horseshoe, I guess, the season opener a little bit better than that, but the way that the Swamp was alive, it kind of, you know, my dad texted me before the game and asked if there was juice in the crowd or if it felt like it was charged up in the stadium. And I think the phrase that I used to text him back was it's a wait and see crowd. And you come out, you start fast, you score, which was something that on Breakfast Bites this week, we said, you know, Billy Napier teams don't necessarily start fast. They come out, they set the tone, they score, and all of a sudden the crowd starts to believe, and you look up and, you know, you get a three and out, you get a stop, you force a punt, you're on another long drive and you're up by two scores early. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. I don't think that this changes anything. I don't think anybody's going to argue that this changes anything long-term about the trajectory of the program or the direction that we're going. But when you only have six games in the Swamp every fall, to have one of those games be against a top 10 team and to come out and put together a performance and make it fun in that stadium. It's special. It's special when you get a win like that. So it was a great time.
Always a blast. Sam, you were watching from a bar in Scottsdale, Arizona. What was, we were at the Gator crowd. What were the vibes out West?
Yeah, I actually was driving around this morning. I saw a gator out in the wild walking their dog. Have give him a couple beep beeps walking driving by. But was just watching at a local bar, and glad that you guys were able to, you know, really soak in another good swamp environment. You know, it's you guys deserve it. You know, great fans. But yeah, great to get a win. Kind of like Devin said, it doesn't change anything really in the grand scheme of things. So I think it's kind of like, do we want to win? Do we want to just rip the Band-Aid off immediately? But the team deserved a good win like that. They've been playing, especially the defense, you know, been playing so well to start the season. And nice to see the offense, you know, kind of get it together a little bit. Like, you know, Devin said, opening drive touchdown. That was awesome. You know, you don't see that too often. So well-deserved win. Good for them, you know, soak it up. We just needed a win. You know, it's nice to talk about a win for once.
Over an FBS team at that too, Sam.
Yeah, well, you know, let's not get greedy. You know, let's not get greedy here. But no, a great win. And, you know, what was a marquee, supposed to be some marquee game, but it was nice to get one either way. You know, obviously Texas left a little bit to be desired, especially their guy under center. And even, you know, their head coach too. I think there might be some questions about their quarterback head coach pairing in Austin this morning as well on the local UT podcasts.
Yeah, I saw a lot of comments from Texas beat writers or media members that made the trip to Gainesville for the first time. And they said that it was best environment they've ever been into. They've been to Oklahoma, A&M, some other places, Alabama, Georgia, and they said this place is well above and beyond any of those stadiums. And it's funny, this is for a 1-3 team with a wait and see, like Devin mentioned. God, if they can only come back in a few years, if it's a real top 15 showdown like we all imagined at the beginning of the year, I think they would have a little bit different thought process on the swamp. But that really played into the defense. I thought they were great. We've said for weeks they could quit. It was huge for the offense. Go down and open up this thing 7-0 out of the gates. Will, you've mentioned Miles Graham is kind of the anchor of the defense. Hunter, who stood out to you as well defensively tonight? I thought a lot of guys flew around. There were a lot of individual performances that provided the Gators success today.
There were some great ones. Obviously, Devin Moore comes to mind because of the fourth quarter performance. He had that sack and then the interception. I think maybe back-to-back drives. Brian Taylor stood out to me. He was flying around. I was telling my dad in the drive back, it feels like that defensive line, I mean, you're down Banks, you're down McCray. It feels like it doesn't matter who's out there, no matter the rotation. They rotate 7-8 guys, whatever it is. We're getting pressure no matter what. And so I was just really impressed with that. And then Will mentioned it, but Miles Graham, he's a missile. He's a missile going downfield. And it felt like Will already said it, but there would be plays where I was like, oh, it's going to be a 4 or 5 yard run. And he just closes the gap so quick. So he was awesome to watch. Yeah, those are the guys that stood out to me. But, I mean, group effort. Feel like overall they were awesome, and while there were a couple big plays, overall they did an awesome job.
Yeah, was anybody surprised by the Arch Manning performance? We saw him in his first start at Ohio State, it was shaky. We've seen the discourse with the three cupcake games they've had, him staring down at Sam Houston State player in the end zone, which he's probably pretty fortunate he did that, because that might be the last stare down he has if he continues these kind of outings the rest of the season.
I thought Arch was fine. I thought that, you know, he's certainly not this unbelievable, like he's a 5-star quarterback maybe, but he's not, you know, the second coming of Jesus Christ like he was, you know, claimed to be out of college, but out of high school. I thought it was almost the way that DJ has struggled a little bit, where like every single time he takes a snap, there's just a rush in his face. But I was impressed with his poise in the pocket, and he did a really good job, I think, of stepping up and limiting our sacks to only like 2 or 3 yards. Like, I remember one time we got back-to-back sacks, and I looked up, and it was only 3rd and 12, and I was like, how? But he just kept stepping up in the pocket and everything. He took some really big hits and was still standing in there and making some throws. And so, you know, I didn't come away all that impressed with how he played, but I thought that given the, you know, how the swamp was going, his team was being heavily penalized, our front seven was just creaming them up front. I thought he made some really nice throws, and you know, he had a couple that were dropped, a couple others that could have been picked too. So, you know, some good, some bad for Arch, but I think he's a little bit overhyped, but I think he has definitely improved from the Ohio State game to now.
We jacked him up a couple of times. I was impressed with the toughness. I thought that he came back and had a better second half than he did first half. Ended up, I think, a decent stat line, like maybe threw for 230, 240 yards. I haven't gotten to look at the box score yet. But I came away just so impressed with the front seven. Like you said, Jaden Robinson's another guy that that flashed. That's just been a really solid linebacker for us. Aaron Childs had a play in coverage where he had their tight end covered down the field. Good athletic play. Little bit of concern with some of the busts in the secondary.
Cormani got cooked all game.
Cormani got humbled a little bit. But
it would have been all made up for if he caught that INT at the end.
He stuck with it and almost made the ceiling play there at the end, and it was a beautiful play. That interception by Devin Moore was crazy athletic.
I loved how he attacked the ball on that play. It seems like all year and even last year we were kind of just like in swat it down mode, and like he saw that I don't know if it was Castell or Thornton, whichever the safety was, had his man, and he went there and took that thing.
It was just an awesome performance by the defense. We're to the point now, I think, where you know, for so many years we've dealt with bad defenses. I think we're past the point, knock on wood, as we go into College Station next week, but I think we're past the point of it being, you know, week to week, are we going to get a good defensive performance? I think that this is a really good defense that we have. And, you know, with the talent on the roster, it just, you see it every week. So I was really pleased with the defense and bowing up there at the end when they probably shouldn't necessarily have had to bow up for one extra drive.
Tate Casey said it best. We would rather have a good defense and a poor offense coming out of the gates. And like Will mentioned, keep the game as close to zero as possible. And you're going to give yourself some opportunities. And they did that last night. Hunter, were you – I believe the Texas running backs had 15 yards rushing. I think Arch had 37 of them, most of them on one play. 2 yards a carry, less than 1 yard per carry for the Texas running backs. I mean, just an incredible performance all around from the front seven. And did any of that surprise you? We saw the physicality last year, that Texas team. They dominated us in the trenches. Obviously, we're playing with a completely different quarterback and scenario in Austin last season, but just overall thoughts of how we contained and limited their ability to kind of dominate the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, honestly, it didn't surprise me at all. Like Devin said, I think they've shown us enough now to where it's not a week-to-week thing. This is an elite defense. This is a defense that's going to show up with anyone, and they've proven that. And like I said earlier, I mean, Banks is your NFL first-round guy on the D-line, especially when you're talking about the run defense, and then McCray's out too, and you're still doing that. So, no, it's not surprising at this point. We give those guys the benefit of the doubt no matter who they're playing, and the linebackers having those guys behind you helps a lot too. You can be a little bit more aggressive on your angles knowing that you have Miles Graham and Jaden Robinson behind you. And so not surprising at all. It's awesome to watch. It's impressive. I was a little nervous to be on the flip side that our offensive line would have a little bit of difficulty with them in the trenches. All I was hearing about was their front four, you know, all four being NFL guys. And, you know, not like our run game was, you know, flawless tonight, but I thought they were pretty solid on the flip side too.
Well, I thought the offensive line, best game of the year. DJ Moore, zero sacks tonight by the offensive line. I think he was like 21 to 28, 300 yards or 298 yards.
298.
Yeah, he had some questionable throws there throughout the game, but for the most part, he was upright. Will, did What were your thoughts on Lagway, the offensive line? They kept him clean all night.
I thought he looked much more comfortable. It looked a lot more like the DJ we saw against LSU last year and Ole Miss last year. And real quick, I mean, you know, like DJ had some, he had some passes that, you know, made me wonder a little bit. Arch on the first, I forgot about this in the first quarter. He wanted to throw us an interception on one of those RPO slants so badly. He was trying so hard, but, you know, I thought DJ played pretty well, especially considering, you know, what we had seen from him coming in, but, maybe it really was just like he needed to get more, you know, good on good reps and everything, which it kind of begs the question. It's like Billy Napier has kind of treated the first four games up into the bye week as like a NFL preseason, as if like the record doesn't matter, you know, 2 years in a row. And so that's kind of, you know, I guess we'll get into more like, you know, where does the program go from here talks later. But it's like frustrating almost. It's like you see DJ with these nice downfield shots and everything, and it's like, why we did that all last year? Why could we not have done it in some of these other games? But I was happy. I mean, and the other thing though is like he had some great luck, like that catch that VB3 had in I think it was the third quarter when the offense had kind of stalled. Like, you know, that was a great individual effort by VB3. I don't know necessarily think it was like a great throw by any means.
But Dallas that's Wilson what you're supposed was, to do when you have that kind of talent. Is. Just give him the opportunity to go make a play.
Yeah,
we didn't do that for.
Correct.
For
we didn't even have those opportunities.
So I thought it was much better this year, and I thought Dallas Wilson, like, he totally changes the offense. I don't think that the offense should have been obviously that bad as it was, but that guy is always open. He was cooking their DBs. I mean, the second touchdown he had where he just shook that guy off of him. And I mean, that looked like an NFL player playing college football, like Jeremiah Smith last year. That was ridiculous.
I'm not sure I've seen, we've talked about the Percy's, the VB3's and Antonio Callaway's we've seen throughout the program the last 15 years or so, but to see a guy at his frame, I think he's like 6'3". He's got to be pushing 220.
I mean, it was like Mike Evans out there.
Yeah,
he's bigger than I thought. I didn't expect him to be that big. Honestly.
And he's wide receiver one. I mean, he solidified himself. He started.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he is wide receiver one. So all that hype that we got throughout the offseason and early in the fall camp was, hey, this guy's the real deal. Well, yeah, he is. I don't know. Do we blame? Like, you kind of got to prepare and have someone else kind of fulfill those duties. You can't bank on a freshman to be that wide receiver one. We thought J. Mike would be. He hasn't been that guy, but it was really, really nice to see Dallas Wilson come in and make a huge difference for this offense.
I thought it was the most confident that DJ looked throwing the ball all season. And I don't know if it was because he practiced more or if it was because he was confident in throwing the ball to that guy. But it looked like he was more sure of himself, more sure of what he was seeing, you know, not necessarily stepping into throws, but making those kind of off schedule throws with confidence and zip on the ball. Like I was very, very pleased with what we saw from Lagway tonight, because it was like night and day difference. And I don't know if that was just having Dallas Wilson added to the fold or what, but I was very, very encouraged by the progress that we saw from pre-bye week to tonight from DJ.
He also looked crisp going over the middle. Like the play he had to Hayden Hansen, I think it was that was in the middle of the first quarter and Hayden Hansen fumbled it, but he had a strike there, I think, in the first quarter where we sort of ran a dig route with J. Mike over there on the right side, kind of deep in our own territory, and he made the read and just delivered it right there. And we have not seen that until today. I mean,
on time.
Yeah. And so he looked like he was back. It's only one game, so we got to be consistent with it, but, very, very positive development. He was helps better your offensive line. He was a better quarterback for sure.
Yes, he is. It does help when the offensive line is able to keep you upright as well. I thought he had plenty of time to survey the field, go through his progressions and have some confidence making throws.
Yeah.
The other big storyline, which we haven't seen since Jordan Pouncey in 2021, a blocked punt. I mean, I didn't think Billy Napier even had that in the cards. He talks about the special teams being game changers. For the most part, it benefited Texas tonight when we were punting the ball, but in the return game, BB3 didn't have much action. But thankfully, he did not, thanks to this Taylor Spearto, first block in 4 years. What was your reaction? I kind of blacked out because I could not believe we actually put a hand on the ball. Hunter, what was going through your mind?
I'll be completely honest. It was one of those moments where I forced the fourth down punt and I like checked my phone for a score another game. And then I hear like a little bit, you can like, you know, when they start to close in, when they're about to block it, you can kind of hear everyone get antsy. And I just look up and it's as the ball is deflecting. So I half missed it, honestly, but yeah, I was losing my mind. You don't see that much and you haven't seen that at a Gator game in a long time. So that was pretty cool. I was hoping the ball stayed in the end zone and could cash in for six there, but still pretty cool to watch.
Yeah,
Sam, I was too busy.
Go ahead, Dev.
I was too busy counting to make sure we had 11 guys out there that I completely and totally missed Spearto breaking through the line of scrimmage and Dirty 30 making the first block of the Billy era. I halfway expected the rapture to happen and the clouds depart and Jesus to come down into the swamp.
Did we have 11 on the field, Dev?
Yes, I can confirm we had 11 on the field for every special teams.
The math. Tonight.
Maybe the he's map, figuring it out. I did tell everybody I was sitting with that we were getting very close. They had two punts before then, and the one right before, I don't know if it was Spearto, but somebody drove their blocker right in front of the punt, and this thing went over that guy's head by about that much. I said, I haven't seen us rush punts, let alone block a punt. And then the very next one, we shot in there and did the same thing, and that guy struck his block, and then Spearto looked like Chris Rainey going through the gap. I was like, oh my goodness, is it 2008 again? And that was like the most hype I think I've been since the very first Utah game.
Yeah.
Because we just like it was like having an out of body experience. Like that was not Billy Napier football those first 25 minutes. I don't know if he was like in the bathroom or something, but that team was on fire. The play calling was great. The sequencing was great. There were really no complaints that first 25 minutes. Then, you know, we get the safety, we get the ball back on the punt, and he like kind of sits on the lead a little
back
bit.
To reality.
He came back and he put
everything was working way too well. Like, let's get rid of all that.
If I could bottle up that hour, that was just so much fun. Just dominating Texas. Forget everything about, you know, losses to USF and getting creamed by Miami and LSU and everything. That hour was awesome.
Well, there was one play in that hour that we have to poke fun at you a little bit. I mean, anyone that listened to Breakfast Bites heard Will calling for Hayden Hansen over the middle, and then the first time he touches the ball.
I like that we were opening things up because as I suspected and called, you know, we get Hayden Hansen going over the middle, it clears things out for guys like Dallas Wilson to score touchdowns later in the game.
I think we hit Hayden Hansen on a slant route later in the game as well.
To take a line from Billy Napier, that one was on the execution. The play call was just fine.
That's fair. It was a good call.
One other thing, going to the defense, they play fantastic. They did give up one deep ball, which I thought was a very good throw by Arch and great job tracking it. But I think it was Wingo who caught that touchdown. We got bailed out on the trick play.
Yes, big time.
It was, I think it was 17-7 at that time. And if that wide receiver had not overthrown that, that would have been a 17-14 game. And I don't know that we even win the game. It would have changed everything.
I mean, there are a couple of plays like that, like the Dallas fumble the first play of the game.
Yeah, you know? It's more so, I'm not like blaming the defense or, you know, trying to nitpick or anything. It's more so that like, we kind of have to temper our expectations with Billy Napier. Cause at the end of the day, like you kind of think about how that game went, like Florida dominated the game. We won by 8. It was a one score game. Cause he's addicted to playing one score games. He still coaches on the margins. He still does all these things. So yes, it's unbelievable and nice. And it was a great hour there in the first half. And we had a lot of fun and it was great to get a win, but we still have the same problems today that we had yesterday and that we had Friday and that we, you know, going back. And we're going to have them. We're probably going to have them against Texas A&M. We might beat Texas A&M. It certainly doesn't look like we're going to go 3-10 anymore or 3-9, whatever it was. But we're the problems are not solved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing changes in the grand scheme of things, but it's nice to feel something.
Yeah.
It is. You know, it's nice leaving the arena here, and it's great to be a Florida Gator.
It is.
That's a joy that we've missed for
great day at the ballpark.
11 months now since our last FBS home win.
Man.
Real quick, Sam, you weren't there. We've hashed, I think it was after the LIU game, we had a little rant about the game day atmosphere and the production. We run through the white smoke out of those machines. Usually we had those going today. We had so much crap going on during the run out of the tunnel. We also had this kind of burnt orange and white smoke coming out of the end zone. Did anybody pick up on that? Were you in your seats at that point? And where's the quality control with the smoke machines?
I got a chuckle out of that too. I saw the orange smoke bombs that they shot off. They have like a million people on the field now that like honoring too. Like it used to be the band was out there and they had the little ropes and the flag boys would run the flags out in front of the team, and now it's just there's a million people out there. There's
it's chaos. Texas is running on the field at the same time. I mean, it just looks like a zoo. with the team taking the field.
Hey, it was a good football game. If we have a little bit of time, that one of the complaints is the production and the you know pregame mess or whatever you want to call it. So I'd rather be complaining about stupid stuff like that than complaining about.
I just had to bring that up. We've talked about the game day production, and they debut this smoke bomb, and it's Texas's colors. So it frustrated me from the get go, and it reminded me of the USF trampling the cheerleaders running on the field. And I said,
"Hey, we improved.
Here we go again.
We didn't trample cheerleaders this time, so that's we're improving week to week."
I did have to laugh that we played Go DJ, That's My DJ for one series, and it was the series that he threw an interception.
I think Dev pointed this out in our text chain. It was right at the end of the 2-minute warning, because I think Napier called that timeout, the first play after the 2-minute warning. It was Highway to Hell is playing, and next play we start booing Napier for calling a timeout at the minute 53 left, which I guess seems like the right call now according to the rule book, but just a fitting scenario in the swamp.
So apparently Billy may not have known what the rule was in the post game. So I haven't had a chance to watch his post game presser, but apparently he did not come out and explain he did that. So he might have accidentally gotten it right.
But it was still a bad process to get there.
Yeah, that in and of itself would be a Billy Napier masterclass.
Yeah.
I was beside myself, obviously, after the timeout debacle, but I didn't understand how you almost get – there's a issue with the rule where you almost get – a reward if your quarterback gets sacked and his helmet comes off, because there's 46 seconds or 36 seconds left. We sack Arch Manning, his helmet comes off. They stop the clock. They have all five receivers run 40 yards downfield.
Yeah.
The clock stops. They're able to get their backup quarterback on the field without the time running. They do a 10-second runoff, but then they run a play. I was beside myself. It's the first time I've ever slammed my hat down trying to figure out why they stopped the clock for a sack with no timeouts left. It was almost like a free timeout just because his helmet popped off.
Yeah.
It drove me insane. It was like there was much more than 10 seconds that would have run off in between plays had Arch had to run off the field and then get their backup.
From the left hash too. You know, he's got 40 yards to get across the field and their backup come on.
Right. It blew my mind. And then, of course, the very next play, their backup throws a beautiful little out route and gets out of bounds. We get a 15-yard penalty on top of it, and all of a sudden you've looked up and they're on the 40-yard line. And
when that happened, I thought we were going to lose.
I 100% that. I was beside myself in the stands.
Yeah, we'll go into the next segment. Player of the game, Sam. I'll start with you. You can go offense or defense. And let's just say no Dallas Wilson. Who are you taking?
I mean, I had a whole thing planned up. I got this hat in Texas, wasn't in the city, but then I was going to say Dallas. So you kind of ruined that one for me. Offense, I mean, it's redundant, but probably Jaden Baugh, the way the guy continues to just get 3 yards at minimum when he seems to have absolutely nothing. He was incredible. And I think going into the game, Texas's defense was third in the country rush yards per game. And we absolutely smashed that total that they were averaging giving up. So really good for the run game. And then defense, I'll go Jaden Robinson. I think he's kind of the unsung linebacker, like Will's mentioned. Miles Graham has absolutely exceeded expectations, and he's the future of anchoring down that defense. But it's really nice to know that it's not just him that is great in the middle of the field in the linebacking core, that you have a really good, reliable option playing right next to him as well. So I'll go Jaden Robinson.
Yeah, he had a big – he disrupted a screen play, I think maybe in the first quarter. That could have been a bit large gain on third down, and then – sometime in the third or fourth quarter, Texas ran a kind of a motion drag at the line of scrimmage that he blew up, I think, just for a yard or two that could have easily gone for a first down or more. So I was thoroughly impressed with him as well. Hunter, who you got? Player of the games.
Yeah, on offense, if we can't go Dallas, I'm going to hit you with a little Rob Sale special. 5 = 1. give me the O-line. They kept DJ clean. The pass protection was awesome. They played their best game of the year against arguably the most talent they'd see on the defensive line. Obviously, a few games in now, I'd probably argue Miami there. But still, regardless, I'll go the offensive line as a whole, and then give me Devin Moore on defense, especially that fourth quarter he had was awesome to watch.
Yeah, Dev.
Hunter took the words right out of my mouth about the offensive line. On Breakfast Bites earlier this week, I said that Texas's defense was like one of the most impressive units that I had watched this year against Ohio State, and I was thoroughly impressed. Did not see it coming that our offensive line would open up holes. And Jaden Baugh's awesome, man. Like that guy's an NFL running back, and we say it every time he gets enough carries to get going like that. His patience, his cutting, just a big physical SEC running back. He's awesome, man. I really love watching Jaden Baugh run the ball.
I was kind of surprised he had 27 carries. It felt like every time we were texting each other, he was out of the game for, you know, 20 minutes of real time. It felt like
Duke Clark looked really good too. I thought that he's a little undersized still, and maybe it's because we're used to looking at Jaden Baugh. But he looked quick. He had good vision. I thought I was impressed with him as well. And really kind of surprised that it was him over Kanan Daniels. But you know, he's obviously earned it. He looked good on the field. And then I won't call him the player of the game, but I think that Makai Boyereau and Jamari Lyons deserve a little bit of shine. Coming into the season, obviously, you got Caleb Banks is like the superstar of the defense. He's your best NFL prospect. And those two guys were excellent. Makai Boyereau, if I'm not mistaken, had a wonderful pass rush from defensive tackle spot. Got a sack early in the game. And I think that those defensive tackles, especially in a game where I think you said they ran for about 1 yard a carry with their running backs tonight, type of game that they have to step up. There's not as much depth there now as there was at the beginning of the year. And the fall off has been minimal. So I'll give it to the two defensive tackles that carried the load for a majority of the game, and go Makai Boyereau and Jamari Lyons.
Yeah, 11 carries, 15 yards for Texas players not named Arch Manning tonight.
That's outstanding.
And incredible. Will?
Go DJ. That's my DJ. I thought I really was happy to see DJ bounce back. This is like a generational type quarterback prospect who had the worst imaginable start to the season. In the first, I think it was the end of the first quarter, it looked like he wasn't even going to be able to walk off. You got Tremell Jones warming up, and I was like, here we go, Billy's going to get year five because he's going to have almost beaten Texas with Tremell Jones. And he gutted it out. He moved in the pocket. It was night and day the way he looked differently. He had a couple bad throws still, but for the most part, I thought he looked really sharp. And so kudos to DJ Lagway for getting back on track. Defensively, you guys have have kind of covered it all. I thought that our edges were putting pressure on Arch all night. I mean, it seemed like every single snap our edges were going, but I thought they did a great job of not overrunning the play. I think he only had like maybe two plays where he kind of was able to take off and run, and they were really, you know, it was kind of when we were playing prevent defense, just keeping everything in front and really selling out to try to get some sacks. And we did, of course, get some sacks there in the, you know, late in the game. So I think largely it worked. But I thought those guys were great. I remember there were a couple plays where I think it was Cam James. You know, it's not always like what shows up in the stats that he gets like a pressure or anything, but we forced them into a couple holding calls that put them behind the sticks. Mm-hmm. And that was because he has beaten his guy on the edge there and just dominated that tackle, and the tackle has to hold, and all of a sudden it's first and 20. And, you know, as we know, being a Billy Napier supporters, first and 20 is dead zone. Can't come back from that. You can't say enough great things about how our front seven played, especially those defensive tackles, like you guys mentioned. But I thought that our edge group just looked really good.
Yeah. Shout out Brian Taylor.
Yeah.
Brian Taylor looks really good.
JUCO to the SEC, and he's out there taking it to Texas.
Yeah, is he the guy that just showed up on practice committed?
No, that was Tavares Brown.
Yes, Tavares Brown. Yeah, you're right.
I got a question for you guys. So Texas joining the SEC, they did before they joined the SEC. They had some good run against Alabama. They beat Alabama right in one of Saban's last years, but they've now been beaten by Georgia twice, where they looked like they got manhandled up front. They, you know, kind of got manhandled a little bit there and almost lost to Arizona State. We just manhandled them. I got some questions about Sark and his ability to really win some of these big games.
It's fair.
Anybody
it's
else?
Fair criticism. Yeah, I think it's fair criticism. I do. I agree with you there. It's something, I think it's something to monitor. I don't think it's,
yes.
You know, there's probably some Skies Falling fans in Texas right now, and I get that. But I think
they're probably going to try to hire Lane Kiffin before we do.
I will say Sark had one of the best play calls I've ever seen. It looked like a wheel route from the opposite hash. They ran up the seam. I think that was one of their first or second touchdowns where the guy caught that insane catch and got wiped out. But I thought Sark called it a decent game. Just lack of execution from his offensive line.
I really like Sark as a play caller. I respect him a lot. I think that you watch their offense and they do a lot of really cool stuff and it flows well. And I think that he's, how do you put this nicely? I think he's limited in his bag by what he's gotten from his quarterback so far this year. So that's kind of my take on where Texas is at. I think that they've put a lot of eggs into this Arch Manning basket, and he's a redshirt sophomore, and he's still getting spooked by loud environments in the SEC.
First road loss in league play for Texas since joining the SEC.
I don't think that they are like just the nature of Texas. I don't think they're accustomed to being in like rowdy, raucous crowds like that.
Mm-mm. A lady behind me that was a Texas fan gasped when she heard us chanting "Move back, you suck."
Yeah, I thought all around really good efforts. What play? I'll start with you, Dev. The momentum switch or something that you saw where you kind of, you know, all right, the Gators are here to play and we're going to win this football game.
It's tough to say that that it was one play. To me, it was the first drive. It was a wait and see crowd, and we're coming off a bye week. We've heard all about the best practice in the history of football for DJ, the look in his eye all week, and they come out and they scored. And I think that when you get the ball first and you set the tone like that, your defense feeds off the crowd, the crowd feeds off the offense, and you're off and running at that point. And I think especially when you're in the swamp, that just crescendos, and it makes it almost impossible to lose when you get the swamp going the way that it was going when we were up 10-0 and you know when it looks like that we have a team that's worth having that energy for. They did their part to start the game. The crowd did their part once they realized that, you know, we weren't going to have to throw Boo Birds down from, you know, the first drive of the game. So I think that it was right there at the beginning, and you know, they, God love him, he hates stepping on people's throats and ending games. Like you get the block punt, we get the ball back, it's 19-7. You feel like we've been in this spot so many times before, and then the drive after the block punt, you're just, all of the goodwill for the first 20 minutes of game time just goes out the window, because it's right, it reverts right back and snaps right back to what we've watched for 44 games now. It's God love them, man. I'm glad we won't even go to all the negative stuff right now. I'm glad we won tonight, but that was the,
We
are about to, Hunter, and I'll start with you, but let me play the voicemail first, and that'll segue us into our next topic.
Hey, Breakfast with the Gators. This is Amanda Boswick from Gainesville, Florida. Go Gators. I'm so thankful for a Gator win, finally, over a good team, maybe. But I don't want this to distract us from the fact that Billy Napier is not a very good football coach and should not continue coaching the Florida Gators. Go Gators. I hope we win the rest. Bye.
That is a lovely point, Amanda, and thank you for calling into the show. Several Fire Billy shirts were in our section this evening. Some folks were rumored to have clown noses in case things went sideways. That we're going to debut, but they did not make an appearance. But Hunter, I mean, even a win, we talked about this, Swamp gets you one each year. Does this give you any faith with Billy Napier being the guy or extending, you know, it seems like this is on a week to week basis of if his tenure is going to last. What are your thoughts on Napier in the future?
It changes nothing for me long-term. You know, I will always root for the Florida Gators to win. It's fun to win, and it was really fun to watch today, but it does not change anything for me as far as the type of coach Billy is long term. There were multiple times tonight where you're just reminded, like Devin said, where he has a chance to put a team away and then does things that just dumbfound you. For me, a lot of people are talking about the late game scenario, and it sounds like, you know, whether he meant it or not, it ended up being the right call. The timeout before the halftime, I was losing my mind, because as soon as we got the stop on second down, I'm yelling, call timeout. He waits 10 seconds, and then he decides to call timeout. What happens next? We sack Arch on the 2-yard line, and the clock runs out. If he would have called a timeout 10 seconds earlier, we then would have had a fourth down where they are backed up on their own 2-yard line, where their punter is standing right in front of the student section with his feet up against the paint, and we could send the house, and you could tell every guy on that D-line on special teams, rough the punter for all I care. What's it going to do? Give them the ball at their 15 where they take a knee or enforce it out of halftime? I mean, it blew my mind that he had no awareness to sit there and watch 10 seconds. It makes it way worse that he called the timeout. And for me, it's like, if you're not going to do that and it's just like, no, I don't want to risk anything, let's just go to halftime. All right, then just go to halftime, Billy. It's soft. It's the bad call, but just do it that way. For you to wait 10 seconds, it was like in real time we were watching Billy Napier's mind work. And it takes 10 seconds for him to make the decision. You say, you know what? I should call a timeout here. I lost my mind. So hopefully that answers your question.
I would like to thank Amanda for calling in to segue that little rant by Hunter.
Clip that.
Yeah. And before that, he accepts the 10-second runoff. That would have been 10 extra seconds to maybe block a punt or steal an extra field goal before the half with your kicker that can kick the ball 60 yards. Like, wow. Just not really no killer instinct is the only way to put it. And it just boggles the mind. It's so consistently the same thing with this coach. So didn't hurt us this time, but it's a week to week league in the SEC. We'll see what College Station has in store.
Sam, you'll have to don that cowboy hat next week too, as we are playing in College Station. You and I, our prediction was even if he goes 1-1 against Texas and then A&M, he's still getting the can. I think we said 1-1 because we didn't think winning was a realistic possibility.
Nobody said he was going to win this game, right? Nobody said that. Nobody was muted or anything for saying
this is Sam's time to
he's going
to
come into the swamp and lose. Nobody said that, right?
Nope, okay. Nobody.
Yeah, didn't think
Sam,
so.
Sam, are we still on schedule?
Will does say a lot, so he might have said it. first of all, to answer Amanda's question, thank you for calling in, Amanda. There's a little saying, I might be butchering it, but what's already understood doesn't need to be said. So, like, I don't think this changes anything. Like Devin and Hunter have already mentioned, like, even when he wins, he still shows you why he is not the guy for the job. Like, the no killer instinct, that's number one. Like, you need a killer at Florida. You know, you need someone who's going to step on someone's throat and be a dog, and he's not going to do that. So, yeah, my prediction remains the same. I still think Texas A&M is a very good team. I think that game can go south pretty quickly. I know our defense can keep us in the game. We'll see. They've got a really dynamic quarterback, some good receivers. But, yeah, I still think after Texas A&M it happens. Even if he beats Texas A&M, I still don't – like, it's just delaying the inevitable at that point. You know, maybe after the Georgia game, like, it's still just delaying it. But, yeah, I'm still sticking to, you know, after A&M.
All I could think about in tonight's game was the guy over my left shoulder wearing this visor. How many points he would have scored? I bet you he would have scored 40-plus with the opportunities he would have had.
Well, that guy's going to have to hear from Billy Napier later this year, so –
Well, if it goes how we like, he will not be coaching. He'll be playing the other Billy on our staff, Billy Gonzalez, as the intern coach.
he's gonna turn on the tape and see Vernell Brown and Dallas Wilson, and his eyes are gonna be this big, and
yeah,
he'll be on the phone with Jimmy Sexton, saying I need to coach those guys.
I think I texted you guys in the fourth quarter. I cannot wait for the Lane Kiffin great win at Gators football tweet, and I probably was going to go to the stadium and just jump. So, I haven't reviewed his Twitter, but I do have his notifications on. It has not come by yet as of Sunday morning. But
I did have a really sick thought real quick just because, you know, talking about Billy and his job. Like last year, it was the true freshman quarterback that saved his job, and – As awesome as Dallas Wilson was to see, like, he's a beast. It's like, oh no, is this the second true freshman that's gonna come through and
yes,
you can save Billy's job?
Hey, I told you guys that this is exactly what was gonna happen. They're gonna have figured something out over the bye week, and they're gonna come beat Texas. And long term, I do not think Billy Napier is going to win a national championship at Florida. So should he be the coach? No. The goal at Florida is to win the national championship.
He's going to win 9 games at Florida?
He very well could. Like, here's the thing is, like, if you look at our trenches can compete with anybody. And when Lagway has confidence and, like, they're moving the ball and he's got targets to throw to, like he had with BB3 and Dallas Wilson, Trey Wilson had 0 catches today. If we can get him involved and mix things up, we can beat anybody on the schedule. But that's the thing is, like, it does change things when he wins games like this. Like, we're going to go into Texas A&M with confidence. And if they somehow – like, the defense is going to keep us in it. They might lose close, which is what I think is going to happen. But if they somehow pull that off and then we get Mississippi State at home, like, we're better than Mississippi State. You could have turned the whole season around. And then you still have Georgia, and the back half of the schedule is very friendly as far as playing in the swamp. And FSU obviously doesn't look like they looked whenever you know, they beat Alabama. And so it changes things in the fact that Billy Napier is not dead until there is a literal press release that says he's fired. I will not believe any sort of media report like, oh, he's gone, he's done this, that. Like, no, the guy, he might not have even known that he was supposed to come into work today on Sunday. But he won, so he's going to be there. And he's going to be there against Texas A&M. And if they beat Texas A&M, he's going to be working that Sunday too. And if he beats Mississippi State, he's going to keep working. And he may just win his way out of this just like he did last year. But it had to start with Texas, and it did. It did. That, exactly like I told you it was going to happen.
You're totally right, Will. But the problem is when you win, you feel like you're never going to lose again. And when you lose, you feel like you're never going to win again.
And I understand that.
And we've watched enough Billy Napier to know for every Texas game, for every Ole Miss and LSU game, you have the Arkansas game.
I don't believe that he has to go 9-3 to keep his job. I'm telling you, I think he could go 6-6, and they're going to talk about how banged up DJ was and how he had this unconventional offseason, and we had all these guys out like Caleb Banks, and the team never quit, and they hung together, and they, you know, won 3 games in a row down the stretch against Tennessee and FSU and all this. And then he's going to get another year, but it had to start with Texas.
6-6 was never going to be good enough this year. That's just
6-6 isn't bowl eligible.
Scott Strickland's the one making the decision, and I do not see him firing Billy Napier if he goes 6-6. I just
you see that picture.
Yes, he's like sitting there. He's sitting there like he's not firing the guy right now. We all would have fired the guy literally a year ago.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
But he's still here. He's still here. And until he like has the bottom fallout, it's just not happening. And it hasn't.
You can't come back and
beat Texas like this. Like this team will not quit, and I don't see them firing him unless we miss a bowl.
If you go 6-6, you don't make a bowl game because LIU does not count.
Then we'll see. We'll see what happens because I think he's gonna get another year. I really do.
If we beat Texas A&M, that is the time I will come on this podcast and tell you all that I am nervous about William being right. Right now, I'm not nervous. I was not on Breakfast Bites, so I didn't get to give my prediction. I did predict Florida to win. It's the Texas. It's the home swamp game. We all said it before the year. I know we were saying that when we were all predicted 9-3 and 10-2. It's the game you're going to win in the swamp, some of us. if we beat Texas A&M, then it gets a little interesting because I do agree with Will when it comes to how the schedule plays out. If you beat Texas A&M, well then you got Mississippi State at home, and then you got a bye week to get ready for Georgia, and then you got a Georgia team that's not the Georgia team you usually see, and it's
Billy Napier off a bye. Billy Napier is dangerous off of a bye.
We got to stop this. We have got to stop this. We've watched this guy. He does not maintain momentum.
He's your coach of the year. He was your preseason SEC coach of the year pick.
What do you mean? It's a hot take.
Let me finish my point. Material changes have happened since the preseason. This guy does not.
I would agree with that.
This guy does not maintain momentum. He's not going into College Station and winning next week.
He is going to
do all of the stupid stuff we saw for the last 35 minutes. He's going to think that he's built up the cachet from this week and the goodwill. They're going to feel really good going into the building tomorrow. They're going to feel still be answering questions about Texas on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. He does not get them ready week to week. From LIU to USF, they were not ready. From USF to Miami or to LSU to LSU to Miami, they were not ready. There's no bye week in between this week and Texas A&M. They're not going to be ready to play next week. We've seen it. It would take us ignoring everything we know about Billy Napier to say they're going to be ready to play next week in College Station. We've all watched it.
Pre Miles Graham leading this defense, man.
I'm saying this. I hope that we do come ready to play. I want the Gators to win. I just know what this coach does. I don't think that that's what we're going to get. I really don't. I think that you get one-offs and little sparks of hope with this coach that are enough to frustrate you, but never enough to like maintain the success at the University of Florida that you have to have. That's why I'm not worried at this point about keeping his job.
The longer he is here, the further he delays our success as a program.
To be clear, I want to say that I am not rooting for him to keep his job if he goes 6-6. I'm just saying I don't see it happening with Scott Strickland.
If he's a coach next year, you might be doing this podcast alone because I don't know if I remember this again.
You're the way of the Carolina Panthers podcast.
I'm hanging it up. One season of potting with Billy Napier as head coach is enough. It's all I can handle. I thought this
2025 to 2025 is what it'll say on the.
That'll be on Sam's tombstone post Florida State when we're.
I know. I couldn't find.
They're gonna be carrying Billy off the thing. Is where we're going 8-4, and we're gonna be a 12 seed, and they're gonna carry Billy off of the.
Carry him out with his furniture of his house and into his truck and back to North Georgia where he belongs.
Molly McGrath is gonna be interviewing him, and he's gonna be crying, talking about hope, and then we're gonna get slaughtered in the playoffs, and we'll just run it all.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy.
Nah, it was great to win. It was great to win. I freaking love it.
It was fun. I will admit I'm ashamed. There's five of us in our section that we have. Some of my college buddies, once we graduated, got tickets. I was the only one to show up today. They heard a lot of my thoughts.
Call them out. Name names.
Yeah, I got Ian Fuller. I got Ryan Colburn. I got Andrew Engel. And I got Gabe Oletsky. All of you. Did no show. To the Swamp.
Wow.
They can't come back now because, I mean, we won.
No more coming back. I was, I want to win every game. I love winning the Swamp. Finally, is our first real home game win since Ole Miss of last year, so 11 months ago. I enjoyed it. I think it's detrimental to our long-term health, which is – I can deal with that because, next week, the inevitable is going to happen. We're going to get smoked by Texas A&M on the road.
I disagree with getting smoked. I don't think this team's capable of getting smoked because of the defense.
And if DJ can keep hitting on a couple passes, like we can accidentally win a bunch of these games.
We're going to play NFL games every week. We've said this too. Every week is going to look generally the same. This is the best the offense has looked. And we topped out at 29 points. By the way, it's a weird quirk that every single Swamp win Billy's gotten in his career, or three of the 4 years now, we scored 29 points. We beat Utah 29-26. We beat Tennessee 29-15. And now Texas, we beat 29-21.
Speaking of Tennessee, this game, whenever we sat on that block after we blocked the punt and he kind of sat on the lead, it was exactly like that Tennessee game from 2 years ago.
Yeah, and it reminded me of that game. It reminded me of the FSU game in the Swamp that we did the – what was it? We got a turnover and then tried the flea flicker like off the turnover.
Oh, yeah, that was the 2023. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or it was off the safety that we tried.
Max Brown.
And then the UCF game from last year. It just like every time that this staff gets the opportunity to really just – end a game, they're just so content with, oh, it's 19-7. We're good. Yeah.
He was very content about scoring 19 points. He thought that I was going to win the ball game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the problem.
There was a point in the game where it was 19-7. We had outgained them like 275-80, and they just missed on, Arch barely overthrew an open receiver. And you look at that and you go, if they would have hit that, here we are at the end of the first half, it would have been 19-14. And how deflating that would have been, them getting the ball out of the second half. Yeah. But that's just like the margin for error you play with when this is your philosophy, where it's like one big play, one busted coverage, and all of a sudden you're looking at a game that you've dominated for 27 out of the first 30 minutes, and it's – a one possession game and you're biting your nails the entire second half. It's a philosophy systemic problem. Like it's just something that
Billy Napier football.
Yeah. He just doesn't get it. And it's not something that gets fixed. It's something that you overcome accidentally week to week when you're playing in big games. It's not something that you can just reliably, consistently overcome. And that's why he's average as a head coach.
Billy bye week mentality last night though.
It's Billy bye week. You let Billy Napier have a week to cook something up. You're in trouble. All right. You let Billy bye week get hot. Don't let them Gators get hot.
Exhausting.
Don't waste the Gator boys. Stay hot on this guy, this team.
Memo.
No, they'd have to like physically like get hot. Like Gator boys stay hot. Like it's a.
they have to become hot in order to stay hot.
There's levels to this.
Yeah. Well, last segment, fellas. The list. Will, you're out of this conversation because your list is just Billy Napier.
That's not true.
With how you predict this season is going to go. Sam, did you get to watch any ball today? I know we were all tailgating. Hunter,
yeah. And, James Franklin. Bad.
I would like to issue a formal apology. I was pushing James Franklin hard, if not publicly, at least amongst friends. James Franklin is off of my version of the list, pending material changes later in the year.
Yeah, they
might have a 4 or 5 loss season. I was looking at their schedule. They got to play Indiana. They got to fire him and hire Sig. They knew what's good for themselves.
Yeah, so. They did not look good. Nico, I am Mama Lava. He had like 150 yards rushing. Like he turned into a different player, but that game was okay. And then the Vandy Bama game, got to watch a little bit of that. Vandy Clark League putting together a good program, but Bama kind of pulled away there at the end, ended up like covering the spread there. And Vandy had a chance. They were playing good to start, but just wasn't quite enough. Pavia, kind of a lot of talk going into that week and didn't live up to it.
UCLA, real quick before we move on. UCLA interim head coach, who?
Tim Skipper. Crazy name.
Well, Dan Mullen is still on my list, so does Tim want to come coach on our staff?
Dan Mullen spent his Saturday night coaching in the snow. When we're talking about a potential
Dan Mullen is a quitter, and he shouldn't even be allowed to set foot in the state of Florida again, let alone coach the Gators.
He's far, far away from Florida right now. I saw they were in a blizzard last night. Don't know.
I hope he's freezing cold.
Yeah, he is. Trust me. another name for the list. We watched the ever creative Dabo Swinney open his game today with a double pass, and he blew out 6-time Super Bowl winning head coach Bill.
Is he a listener?
List adjacent for me if he's interested.
And Marcus Freeman won today. He handled Boise State at home by like 3 or 4 scores. So
yeah, he's not on the list, but did Washington wind up winning? I saw they were down like 20-3 at one point to Maryland today. I
think. They did. They came back. My boy Jed Fish came back and won 24-20.
Nice.
Don't sleep on Jed. There was only some talk about Jed being a bad coach and not being above 500. He had to totally rebuild that Arizona. Sam used to report on it.
It was bad. They were in a really bad spot.
Yeah.
Jed and Kenny, they took over terrible programs. I mean, like 1-win, 2-win programs. ASU was in recruiting probation when Kenny came in. When Jed took over Arizona, it was after Sumlin, and that was just terrible. It was a dumpster fire. So he can rebuild. He can rebuild some tough situations.
Let's look at Jed Fish. 9 plays, 75 yards in 3 minutes to start the fourth quarter. 4 plays, 75 yards to get it to a 1-3-point game, and then 11 plays, 80 yards, and 5 minutes to take the lead. So Jed Fish also picked up a first down on his last drive to end the game. So
disrespectfully doing
a lot of the game.
No bad timeouts.
You're allowed to do that, Jackson?
I don't see that, but he did pick up a critical first down on the final drive to run the clock out, which I did not see from a certain head coach in the swamp last night.
Do you think Billy Napier knows you can do that? Like, if it's 1st and 10, you need 1 first down to seal the game. You do not have to run halfback dive into a cloud of dust 3 straight times.
A lot of members of the list had today off, maybe spent their time hanging out with family. Some spent their time in certain hosts of Breakfast with the Gators girlfriends DMs. There's coaches that have a lot of time on their hands that may be on the list.
Yeah. I think one particular coach is monitoring the situation down in Gainesville extensively and had enough time to reply to some Instagram stories.
Allegedly. Vanish mode.
Yep. It was that's not if you want to vet Lane Kiffin, we're not going to add that. So that is that's just a rumor around the tailgate today, but no facts we can present on this show. No evidence.
What's the word, satire?
Yeah. I saw FSU lost today. I was disappointed in Miami. FSU lost last night, excuse me. They were up 28-3, and that just would have been a really nice, funny score to laugh at our neighbors and stuff. But so we can't even have nice things with Miami. You know, just when we think that they're going to, you know, do something nice for us, they let FSU totally back into the game. They ended up winning 28-22, which looks like it was a close game. What the heck?
We're going to kill FSU.
We are. It's going to be great. Matt Gus Malzahn, rinky dink, razzle dazzle, can't do anything. I don't know why it works on Alabama. I don't know what it is about it. But it only works on them, and it works on Kent State, and it doesn't work on major college football programs.
Yeah,
Tony Elliott, by the way, Virginia went on the road and got a win against Louisville. And I don't say that because Tony Elliott is on the list, but it has been floated before that Jeff Brohm should be on the list, and that is asinine.
Off the list.
Tony Elliott, another overtime win. He had to go after
at Louisville. Yeah,
that's a guy that's sneaky saving his job too. He was very much on the hot seat before he beat FSU last week, and then
now he's ranked.
A little bit of a run now.
If we beat Texas A&M, are we ranked at 3-3?
No. Yes.
No.
But we're not going.
Not that it matters, but
receiving votes.
I'm telling you. I saw something different out there today. I saw that look in Tua's eye.
Anymore, Texas has got to be out of the top 25. They're brutal.
I think it's a. I forgot to listen to the radio on the way back from the game. The 1-2 in the AP polls preseason have two losses after five games. It's like the first time in decades that's occurred with Texas and Penn State.
I think Clemson was 4, and they have 3 losses.
Maybe Billy Smart by not having us, you know, top 5 team every year in the preseason. But we go ahead and lose 4 in the first month anyway. So
you got to start slow. You got to sneak up on him, Jackson. You sneak up from behind. They're not expecting you.
Yeah. It is really absurd that he treats those first games before the bye week like their preseason, that they just don't count.
Maybe he's an NFL coach. Maybe we have us an NFL coach at the helm. Maybe he's figuring it out. Well,
high school football has a jamboree, and you know, maybe that's more his line of work. Yeah.
Imagine Billy calling a jamboree.
You know what high school football has? They got junior varsity.
Yeah, but credit to the players, credit to the crowd. Yeah. It was, it's refreshing. You know, we've made a joke. I think Hunter's made a joke. It might have been before the Miami game. Let's have a spoof. Breakfast with the Gators and record on a Thursday night and just release a show on Sunday and see how accurate we could be. I think we were probably going to hit like a 90% clip. A little bit different storyline after last night's 29-21 victory over the number 9, probably unranked Texas Longhorns when it comes out Monday in the AP poll. But overall, great night. Any final thoughts from the fellows before we wrap it up?
Really proud of the fans. Really proud of the players. The Swamp got another one. They got Ole Miss last year. They got LSU last year. They got another one tonight. So credit to us. Thank us for our service.
Yes, I think we got out to the tailgate at 7:30 this morning. So long day getting ready for a big game, and it was a lot of fun down in Gainesville. And again, we're a part of the Stadium and Gale Network. And presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris & PA is a preeminent law firm in Lake City, Florida, serving North Florida since 1985. You can give Guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trust, and estate planning. And thank you again, everybody, for joining us for another episode of Breakfast with the Gators. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, share us on all your platforms. And we'll see you this week for an episode of Breakfast Bites. The guest is to be determined. But I'm sure we'll have another good, good guest lined up for you guys. So thank you for joining. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators and go Jags.
All right.